Welcome back to A Little Faith. I'm very excited about today's interview. Today we're interviewing Mark Kane, who's the host of the Unitarian Christian Alliance podcast. We're going to talk about what the Unitarian Christian Alliance is, some about Mark's podcast, and how we as Christadelphians can be involved. How you doing, Mark?
Very good. Thank you, Levi.
Mark is on the board of the Unitarian Christian Alliance, mm-hmm. and we're going to explain that. But first, we should hear a little bit more about Mark. So I guess, Mark, start at the top. Where were you born?
All right. No. I was born in Ohio, in a little village far. My family has been, well, my dad was a pastor in the Church of God General Conference, which is one of the biblical Unitarian groups in the United States. And I was born into that, so I was raised believing in some of the exact same doctrines that you guys believe in from mm-hmm. birth, you know. So I'm one of those. I'm a lifer, in a matter of fact. So I was a Unitarian Christian. I believe God is one, and Jesus was his son, his human Messiah.
To clarify, we're using the word Unitarian. That is different from a Trinitarian. So yes. Unitarian is one God. You're already explaining that Jesus is the human son of God.
Yeah.
Just wanted to add that little clarifier in.
Yeah, it's a good clarifier because, well, in the United States at least, there's several churches out there called Unitarian Universalists, and they originally came from a more biblical Unitarian background back in the 1800s, especially on the East Coast. There were quite a few folks who were very scripturally minded and felt that God was a single person, Unitarian. But over time, I think, short version, they really pushed away from creeds so much that it ended up ultimately whatever you believe is fine. And now you kind of have this group that really doesn't even pay any mind to what Scripture says. There are people who are atheists who consider themselves Unitarians, Unitarian Universalists mm-hmm. at least. So what we did was the UCA, the Unitarian Christian Alliance, is using that term because it is probably one of the most distinguishing, clear terms to say I'm not Trinitarian. Like if we just said, well, we're monotheists. And the Trinitarians say, well, yeah, we're monotheists too. It's like, okay, that didn't quite work. We're biblical monotheists. They've never heard that term before. So, might as well raise their hackles and call it Unitarian.
And you don't want to be the anti-Trinitarian Christian Alliance.
So no.
That would be bad.
Yeah. That was deciding the name of this amongst us was what it took a lot of time because we were like, but people will be confused. And we're like, yeah, but it's as clear of term as we have that at least exists from history. Its original meaning was you believe God is one person, not God is three persons in one essence. That's what it meant way back in the day. So anyway, we stuck with that. So in my story then, so I was born into a group that taught that already. And that's how I kind of ended up getting here. I've been a part of that church my whole life.
The actual same church, like the same congregation that your father was a pastor at? You're still there?
Not exactly. I was born in Southern Ohio, lived for a while in Illinois, where my dad pastored a church there. And then he ended up pastoring in Northern Ohio, in Cleveland area. And I moved mm-hmm. there, and I went to the church where my dad was a pastor again. So I've had more of my dad's sermons in my life than any other human in existence, because I followed him around and was in his church for years and years and years. I'm in the Cleveland area.
Nice. And what do you do for work?
I'm a privacy officer at a medical imaging company that I helped start 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Long career.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I'm a software developer by trade. Well, I was a DJ originally by trade, and then that fell apart when I realized there would never be any income. minimum wage is great, but it's the 5 hours a night and never getting a raise that's a problem. So I did that a little while, played black gospel music on a local Christian AM radio station. That only lasted about a year and a half, and then I went back to school for software and actually had a career instead.
That's wise.
Yeah, it worked out better.
Yeah. So you spent the last 20 years in the Cleveland area, basically, and mm-hmm. you're a member of the Church of God and the General Conference.
Yes.
So before we define what the Unitarian Christian Alliance is, I got interested when you were talking about picking the name. So how did you, I guess, how did the Unitarian Christian Alliance come to be?
Okay. Excellent question. In 2019, there was an event that took place in Northeast Ohio. It was called Converge. And the intent of the event was to get people who were from different groups but that believed God was one to get together for a weekend. There was a group in New York that decided they would skip their summer camp that year and come down to the event. There was even a group from Canada who wanted to do it. And so we put it kind of central to a lot of Unitarian Christians, and then we had this event called Converge. We actually rented a college campus for this. There were about 300 people there. I ended up on staff because I lived nearby, and they asked me, hey, Mark, would you help out? And there were multiple groups represented at this event. This was not a denominational event. This was a cross-denominational event. There was at least four or five named groups that you could pinpoint and say, like, they were represented there. Well, at that event, after I helped run the event, I was meeting people and seeing the world differently than I had seen it before. I was talking to people who I had backgrounds that were different than me, but who shared some of the same core beliefs that I did and were so appreciative to be there. I was like, there's more that we could do. And there was one moment on the last day, a woman came up to me and thanked me. She grabbed my hand and she said, I just want to thank you for putting this on because these are my people. And it choked me up. She lived in the middle of Montana or Idaho or something, had nobody else to go. She could only go to Trinitarian churches or a local Jehovah's Witness church. That was it. And she felt that burning sense of, I am alone. And now I'm not. I know people. I have people. Yes, they're far away from me, but I know them now. And it meant so much to me to hear her say that and to meet these people. There was a couple others who were on the committee. Dale Tuggy, who does the Trinities podcast. Sean Finnegan from Restitutio. That's another podcast. Anyway, there was this small group of people. Keegan Chandler, he wrote a book, The God of Jesus, which is a really good Unitarian Christian book. They had this idea like, well, we should do more for these people. And they started talking and they had this vision. What if we had a single issue group who really just served this kind of narrow purpose? And this hasn't been done before. It's strange. Like, we want to focus it on one doctrine. Now, from the outset, that just sounds bizarre. It sounds crazy. Like, there's no such thing as a church that has one doctrine. Of all doctrines, why this one? Because, you know, what does James say? Even the demons believe and tremble or something. Like, this is knowing right. that God is one is not a statement that sets you apart in any remarkable way. But in a society where the people who do believe God is one are being kicked out of churches and can't find right. a church or ecclesia or anything to go to, it means the world. Like, I hear from people like, I attend the church, and when Christmas comes or Easter comes, and I get just, oh, they just like, I can't go. I can't even go anymore because they're going to a Trinitarian church where at least their kids have friends who, you know, read the Bible some, but they have to just tolerate it. So that was the idea. Like, what can we do for these people? Because as podcast hosts, which Dale Tuggy and Sean Finnegan have, they get these calls occasionally. Hey, I live in Kansas. Do you know of anybody in Kansas who I could go meet? Or then they get an right. email that's like, I'm in Northern England and I'm looking for somebody. What do you think? Because I just found you on the internet and I don't even know where to start. These people, you know, it's like, this is the age of the internet. We have all these resources available, but where do you go to find somebody who's non-Trinitarian? You just start searching on the word non-Trinitarian. You search on this, you search on this, and you find all these adjunct pieces that are just floating around. Oh, there's the Church of God General Conference, and there they have a list of their churches. Oh, I found WCF. I can find some groups there. Oh, you just have to keep looking and looking and searching and finding. And a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people gave up like 5 or 6 years ago when the internet wasn't as replete with us. And I'm just finding them now, and they're like, I thought I would look around again, and they're shocked. Whoa, there's people all over the place. So that was the mindset. What can we do for these people who, because of the way the Christian world is working right now, orthodoxy being the majority, these people are growing up in these churches, puzzled at what they're being taught, thinking, that doesn't quite make sense to me. And one day, they study, they read a little something, and they open their mouth. And lo and behold, that was not the question you were supposed to ask. And now they don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's interesting to me about the doctrine of the Trinity and Unitarianism is in the mainstream Christian world, there is teachers who teach non-traditional views who are accepted. So you know, you think of like Rob Bell making that big hubbub about there not being a hell, right? N.T. Wright arguing that the heaven is on earth, that the kingdom is on earth, right? No devil, you know, that's fine. That's pretty acceptable. But no Trinity, and now you're out.
Yeah, you are out. And, you know, I say it in my very first episode of the podcast. I do the Unitarian Christian Alliance podcast, which we haven't talked about this yet, but
yep.
We'll get there. But the very first episode, I try to wrap that up in a very overarching way to explain that we wish we didn't even have to do this. This is not something that we thought, hey, I would love to burn hours of time working out a website, building a membership directory. I would rather not, but because Christianity does this to its pew members, because they kick out people who ask the wrong questions, now we have to do this. The day could come when N.T. Wright or somebody announces officially, you know, maybe John MacArthur will stand up and be like, okay, everybody, we were a little bit harsh on the Unitarians are going to hell. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's a legitimate theory. We should probably just treat it as a concept that we talk about and talk, you know, like in my eyes, that should be in the world of theories that you discuss, things that you consider, like when you're trying to figure out, like, how does Jesus's relationship with God work? Well, that's we can talk about it, and we shouldn't feel like we're condemned if we come up with a wrong phrase or the wrong word, but lo and behold, that's what we've created in Christianity today. And I think it all stems from the power that was in place when the church became ingrained with the state, the Catholic faith happened, and then creeds came out, even the Athanasian Creed, like, well, he who must be a Christian must think this way. And we've never dropped it. And, you know, so we're really just a reactionary group trying to do something to help that honestly takes a lot of time, and maybe one day we won't have to, and I'll be okay with that.
So what year did you guys start? Did you start the Unitarian Christian Alliance?
We started in 2019, and
that's fairly recently.
Yeah, it's pretty new. And we opened up officially making announcements in January of 2020 to get people to hey, you can join and sign up. There's a membership. There's a directory. When you sign up, you can sign up for free, or you can put a little donation in if you want to help fund some of the things that we do. And your zip code causes there to be a dot on the map. And then you could look at the map and be like, wow, there's people all over the place. And that's kind of the intent. Then you zoom in and you're like, there's people near me. Hold on. Let me find out who they are. Because, I mean, again, these are the people that are like, if I could just sit with somebody and talk to them about the Bible and not have them look at me and shake their finger at me, I would really have a nice day. Where can I go to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that gets into my next question, is what is the objective of the UCA? And it's essentially that map, correct?
Yeah. Technically, there are two objectives. One, for me, the primary objective, I mean, depending on who you talk to amongst our group, they have things that they emphasize more. But for me, it's connecting people. It's helping do something that independently is very, very hard to do. You know, I'm a part of the Church of God General Conference. I would love for people just to stroll in and talk to me and come to our church and spend time getting to know me. But if they are like, I don't know, take some, you know, they're amillennial, or they're this, or they believe in going to heaven, and they look at our statements and they get uncomfortable, and then they stop talking, or maybe they never even show up in the first place because they just go to my website and they read through the list and be like, yeah, no, that's probably not me, and they're out. So there's a subset of people who you can't talk to if your umbrella is, I'm a part of an organization that does all of these things and believes all of these ways. And, you know, you have to just hope that they find you. It creates a little bit of an extra barrier, especially for somebody who's already a Christian and who still maybe believes 18 other things that are different than me, but just they don't know what to do because now they know God is one and they're kicked out. Like, we don't know how to solve that problem cleanly from within an organization that already has an established practices, you know, worship services, a leadership structure, a long list of beliefs and things that we have. Like, that's not quite as inviting to the Christian who's already discerning enough to know, I believe this and this and this, I'm still checking on that, and I don't know about this other thing. So, we're like, okay, the objective then is to create a space where somebody could show up and not feel like I'm going to get kicked out, you know, as soon as I say something about my amillennial views or my premillennial views. No, I'd like, nope, that's actually what we are. We're a bunch of people who disagree on all sorts of things. And our objective then is for you to find out there are some other people besides yourself. And then in that process, you meet somebody who maybe actually agrees with you on enough that you can fellowship. We're not going to create a fellowship. There's no worship services. There's no discipleship, nothing. It's a directory. It's a way to find people who are near you, who believe like you in this one particular way that happens to be very difficult to manage in the Christian world. And so that's go ahead.
I'm saying it's the big one, in my opinion. Like it's the biggest piece that would divide any Christelphians Church of God General Conference from mainstream Christianity. I mean, that's the biggest one, and honestly, one of the hardest ones to have any scholarly debate over too. You know, I think I'd put it number one because it's so.
Oh yeah, well, you sign up for a debate. The person on the other side of the debate already believes you're probably going to hell, and they're going to treat you like. Sometimes they treat you like a crazy atheist who's just making up stuff. That's an exaggeration, but there are apologists who are Trinitarian who are like attack dogs. It's horrible. It really is horrible, and it's embarrassing for Christianity as a whole. So the first objective was, can we do something that will let these people find groups where they'll be at home, where they'll be comfortable? You know, Christadelphians is a perfect example of that. Some people don't know that there might be a Christadelphian group nearby. They don't even know where to start looking. Right. I would hope that they would find them, and then they would show up and be like, hey, wait, this works. Yeah, yeah. I love this, you know?
Yeah.
And that would be perfect. So objective one is connecting people where they otherwise might not have been able to connect and casting the net wide enough that they're comfortable going and looking rather than saying, we are the Church of God General Conference, but we're glad to help you connect with the Christadelphians because we're just that loving, you know? We care that. The churches have a hard time with that. Well, those people over there believe a little bit differently than us, so I don't know if we're going to, like, route you over there. Maybe we will, out of the goodness of our heart, say, you know, go see another group. But the UCA is just, by being agnostic to all of those differences, we just say, find people, talk to them. If they're your people, you've now found fellowship, and then go and be a part of that fellowship. Objective number two was, well, once you have people who are intermingling and talking, you have the power of numbers that you might not have had before. You might attract the attention of somebody who is a PhD and is writing a book, and he needs, you know, he might need some extra influence from somebody who's similar to him at another group that he would have not otherwise met. You know, like I got to meet Snowblin at the first UCA conference, and that was really great. He was interesting. His talk was cool. And I'm like, now we meet these people and we find out that we could work together or collaborate on some particular effort to move the thing forward. It's similar in my mind to like how the pro-life movement works. You have a bunch of people who say, this one thing is really kind of important and there's a problem today. What can we do about it? And I'm like, hey, well, what if we created an organization that would specifically focus on that so that people who want to make a difference in that area have a place to go and can make a difference, you know?
And that's very cross-denominational, you're saying. Like that it's a single issue alliance, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you go because you want that one particular thing. Well, people come to the UCA because they want to find others who won't condemn them to hell, honestly. That's why they come. So some people join the UCA because they just want to be there in case their neighbors pop up and say, I didn't even realize you were a Unitarian, you know? We've had several people show up at our church because of the UCA. And we have a member already who's recently baptized. He's coming to our church. There are other churches. We got a church in Southern Ohio where a kid drives 45 minutes. He's a teenager. And he found the church on the UCA map, and he just showed up, and he's like, this is what I need. And now he drives 45 minutes every Sunday to be in a church to fellowship with people who think like he does. And that's the goal. But anyway, back to the thing about the numbers. When you have a lot of people behind a movement, like the pro-life movement, you can achieve something a little bit more specific or a little bit more powerful than if this was the pro-life movement of independent Southern Baptists. It's like, okay, well, all 24 of them showed up for this march, and the march was passed in like 45 seconds, and it was it. But if you say, hey, let's do a pro-life movement, and let's invite everybody to come who believes in this thing, then you fill an entire street and the parade takes 20 minutes to get past. Well, here's our chance. This is a chance to like say to the world, can you please teach this in your seminaries? Can you talk about this like it's real? Can you so much pressure, right. So many podcasts, so many posts, so much that they're like, okay, I guess we have to talk about this now.
Right. Yeah. Or it just, yeah, in keep it in the conversation and not just dismiss the idea.
Yeah.
Correct,
basically. Oh, it's so easy to dismiss a group. Well, they're just a small group and we've already labeled them with cult a long time ago. And so why would we have to revisit this again? You know, oh, they're just JWs. Like, no, actually, you should listen a little more closely.
Right. It's more than one group and many, many people.
Many people.
Nice. So I'll repeat back. So I'm understanding that the two goals are to make connections for individuals who find they have a Unitarian belief and to make a general broad movement connection for all of Unitarians to see the large number.
Yes. So we'll produce, like, we have some videos that we've put up on the website, short things that you might be able to share with a friend. And they're all focused on this one thing, even though amongst, you know, the people in the group, we have strong beliefs about the kingdom of God. We have people who, you know, sleep with the dead and some other views. That's just, we do that in our other activities. We do that at church. We have Sunday school classes. We teach all these things. It's just in this one particular case, we've decided to hold back on that for the purpose of letting the connections happen. And now, I've got people that I can talk to about all sorts of topics now because I have hundreds of more friends than I had 2 years ago. And we've talked about spiritual gifts. I've talked about the personality of Satan with people. I've talked all sorts of things. And it's because I now have connections. It's not just me and my 25 other members of my church. I have a worldwide connection.
Nice. Yeah. And so there's a Facebook group. I'm a member of that. And actually, for Christadelphians listening, there's at least 50 other Christadelphians are in this group. There's almost 1,500 people. And the most of my experience with the UCA so far is the seeing a lot of the discussions that happen in there. And it's generally a really positive place. That's one thing I've really enjoyed.
Which is saying something for Facebook.
Yeah, first Facebook. Well, even Christadelphian groups are usually less uplifting than the UCA page, but you guys moderate it pretty heavily. But it is neat because you'll see these kind of connections happen. People will join, somehow find the group, and then say, I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Does anybody know anybody?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's really lovely. It's perfect for a Facebook group like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Facebook group is kind of an extension of what we do, and we haven't really defined how that would be. There's no particular, it's not part of our main mission. It's just these people want a place to chat, and Facebook gives you a place to chat. So we have a group for UCA folks, and it takes some moderating. It takes some occasional debates behind the scenes. Like, how do we manage this? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like some people are upset because, you should be, basically functioning like a church. This is where you admonish and teach people what the right things are. It's like, that's what a fellowship is for.
There's no agreed.
Yeah. There's no way we can pull that off. who wants to be admonished in a Facebook post anyway, honestly?
It's ineffective. That's for sure.
It's not easy to pull off. We'll say that. It's hard. And then, if they find a group of people where they can sit together and read the Bible and learn and grow, all of those things come naturally because you get past this one God thing pretty quickly once you end up in a fellowship. This is honestly the one God thing. It's just milk. This is a silly thing that we have to be doing because it should have just been as understood as anything. It'd be like, God is one, Jesus is his son, blah, blah. It's just this little element of a strong and robust faith. It's not meat, it's milk. And here we are creating a group around a bit of milk, which from an outsider seems like a stupid waste of time because that's just so illegitimate as a movement. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Orthodox Christianity, for making it legitimate by constantly kicking people out and creating the book on who's a cult and then pointing the fingers at all these people. I mean, I wouldn't want to stand before God one day and say, I was condemning your servants to hell. Sorry about that.
Right. Yeah. I thought that's what you wanted me to do. Yeah. Well, let's shift then. So you host the UCA podcast. How did that come to be?
Well, the first year we were going to have a UCA conference, and the UCA conference is just an extension of meeting people and, you know, having more content about one God. So we have some scholarly papers, and we have we had some workshops this year. We've had two of them so far. But the first event got canceled because of COVID, and the board, you know, like the five of us were looking at each other like, well, okay, what do we have now that we don't have great presentations by thoughtful scholars who put together a perfect thing on John or on this? And they knew I had been toying with the idea of doing a podcast. I mentioned radio at the beginning of the interview. Mm-hmm. That was an original dream of mine, was to be a talk radio host and have a show across the country where people would just tune in and listen and call in and we would discuss. I was like, we need a radio show, unlike the Bible Answer Man, where you don't call to just be told what is right. You call and ask real hard questions and discuss it in a way that is respectful. And you hear opinions mm-hmm. that you don't normally hear. You don't filter away everybody or hang up on them because they don't agree with you. You talk through it because I believe that the truth can filter through and it ultimately stick for the people who are interested in searching for it. I wanted to have a talk show. I gave up on that.
Right.
So the team knew that I had been toying with doing a podcast as an alternative to ever doing radio years and years ago. And mm-hmm. I was in kind of a paralysis, decision paralysis. I don't know what to do because I've got so many directions I could go. I was just, oh, it was terrible. And they said, well, what if you just did a podcast for the UCA focused on this one thing? And I thought, well, that's silly because it would be so narrow. How could I possibly have interesting content in this kind of a small box? Well, turns out when you narrow it down, you've given your brain a lot of latitude within a small circle and you've made it easier to think. And it was easier for me to think about topics, people, purpose. Hmm. And so I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'll start a podcast designed for people who the UCA is meant to serve. So it's for Unitarian Christians. Trinitarians will sometimes listen, and a few of them have. But I'm not really interested in them listening particularly. I'm interested in helping the rest of us connect. You get to know people. I do a lot of interviews. Interviews is one of my main things, where the interview is about somebody's story, how they got to where they are. Occasionally, it involves how they became a Unitarian, you know, in short. But usually, there's a story around it that's much more interesting. Sometimes, the Unitarian thing is just a note at the end. Like, oh, and this happened too, and that's why I eventually met you. Sometimes, it's the whole story, the process by which they work through it. One of my favorite interviews is my very first guest, who agreed to interview with me before the podcast even existed. Her name is Hildy Chandler, and it's amazing because it's the story of her going through the difficult moment when her son came in and told her, Mom, I'm no longer a Trinitarian. Mm. And she was like a Bible student, very serious Bible student, and this was like getting hit in the face. And she tells the story. And then she goes to, so I'm going to figure this out on my own. And then it's three episodes. It's really amazing. And some people I've heard tell me I've listened to it five times and I gain something from it every time.
Oh, wow.
And it isn't even like a Bible teaching on how to understand the doctrine of God. For, right. You know, chapter one, let's go to Genesis. It's just Hildy's story and it's moving and touching and theologically astute because she's sharp. It's so good. And that's the kind of thing I was like, then this is what we're going to do. We're going to meet people. We're going to hear something poignant from their story. We're going to, you know, get a better grasp of what's happening out there in the world. Because this is, again, I grew up in the Church of God General Conference with my own people. I would go to the events every year with my own people. I would go to mm-hmm. church every week with my own people. And it's easy to kind of forget. Wow, there are folks out there who've had such dramatic, different experience. And yet, what did they do? They learned they needed to ask the question, even if it caused them to be at odds with their pastor. They learned they needed to do mm-hmm. that, and then they did it. And here they are today, like, well, I'm a Unitarian Christian. I'm no longer Trinitarian, and this has changed my world. So I have some monologues and things, too, that are just me sharing stuff that is generally of interest, and they're pretty cool.
Right. No, yeah. good. That's good. Yeah, and it sounds like you guys have a few or some of the other board members of the UCA have podcasts as well. It seems
yeah.
to be a
yeah.
But yours is kind of specifically for the UCA.
Yeah. The other ones are their own podcasts. They just happen to be on their the board. Show. And when one day when they're not working with the UCA, they'll probably continue to do their podcast. And
right. You know. Right.
Where maybe makes for sense. Me one day I will find a replacement and then hand it over and say, right. You do it now.
Yeah, that's the dream.
That's the dream.
So how can, or I guess so in the history of the UCA, how has WCF and other Christadelphians become involved?
Well, the UCA ended up getting connected to us through some of the people that were involved. We do have Christadelphians that follow along with us in Europe. We have some here in the United States. And I don't remember what the connection was, but they heard about us and they saw a possibility. One of the people who was connected to us, I believe they reached out to the WCF and said, would you help with this? Would you be maybe consider being a sponsor? And a sponsor for the UCA conference just means you have a table, you give a little extra money. It helps keep the price down so that people can get there for cheaper. And then we talk about you in front of all these people who came from all walks of life and from all church background. And so WCF has been a sponsor 2 years in a row. And the first year, one of the people who came, I found out, doesn't live very far from me. And so now I have a new friend, and I go and have meals with her occasionally, and it's been fantastic. So just an example of how that connection happened. So that's where WCF has come in.
And what would you tell other interested Christadelphians what they could do now? What should they do to help the UCA?
Well, the most meaningful help would be that at least one person in an area would sign up and put in their name and create a little profile. You can see, learn about it when you look at the website. And that would put a spot on the map. Because if you technically represent an entire ecclesia of like 36 people in your area, but yet there isn't even one spot on the map for that whole space, people might not know you're there. I mean, yeah, okay, they could dig through the internet a while and find out that Christadelphians are Unitarians, and then they could show up.
Sure. Sure.
But now we're creating a little bit of ruckus and a little sound out here doing this UCA thing. And people are now looking. They're deliberately signing up or just going to the map and trying to find somebody near them. So if you are a person in an area, you know, just as a member, you don't even have to put your church on there if you don't want to. Just get something on there so that people will find you. So that's the two kinds of people who sign up for the UCA. Those who are looking for others and just want to let, you know, like, I'm here. And then people like me who are like, well, I have something to offer folks who are looking for fellowship. They could possibly enjoy my church and come and then become friends, and then we could build each other up. So that's the main way. So you just go to the UnitarianChristianAlliance.org, take a glance at the map and see, oh yeah, I live right here and there is nothing around me. And then, you know, sign up. You can sign up for free. The intention was that there'd be no barriers. You know, like, oh, for only a small price of $19.95, you can. No, it's free. Some people do. Yeah, some people give a little bit, and that's an option that you can do, but you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a membership level that is free, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. You sign up, and then you have an email address, password. And then the interesting thing is then you can message the other people, the other dots on the map.
Yes.
So that's one thing that's blocked unless you're signed in as a member.
That's right.
Is you can see that there's people, but you need to become a member to message them.
Yeah, that's kind of the filter. You know, not everybody wants their information out on the internet. So you make up your own public name. You know, you could be Fluffy Bunny 5, and then they're like, whatever. And they read the little profile that you write your own profile and says, hey, I'm a Christadelphian from north of Boston, and I do this, and, you know, we have a small group, and we'd love to meet you, or whatever you want to say.
Right.
And then somebody just clicks on it, and they read it, and like, wait. Hey, I'd be interested. And there's a little box on each profile that says contact us. And it's just where you can write a short message and you click contact. And it sends an email internally to that person. That person can read the email and then make a decision. Maybe they click and look at your profile and be like, oh, I don't know about this guy. He's kind of crazy. Or it looks like he's trying to sell me stuff. So then he doesn't respond. He just ignores it. And then it's over. It stops. Yeah. Or they click reply to the email and it becomes an email conversation. We didn't want the UCA to become like Facebook, where you do the conversation on our website. That is
publicly
not, you could even do that privately, and I still wouldn't want to do it, because then we have to deal with it all. Instead, you really just get connected to somebody else's person through their email, and then you just go back and forth by email, and we're out of the picture entirely. So that's how it works.
And it's not just the United States, it's worldwide on the map too.
I think I should check. Last I checked, we were at 44 countries, 45.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it blows me away every time I look and do the count. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, some countries there's one spot in the entire country. I'm like, oh, the poor soul. Like, what's there? I don't know. You know.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, definitely if you have not registered, obviously check the map and see if where you live is somewhere that's not currently represented. And that means down to the zip code, because obviously you're more likely going to meet with someone who's 20 minutes away than 2 hours away. So you really, unless someone else in your zip code has put it in, I would say put it in. And then I also would suggest for anyone who wants to join the Facebook group. I think it's been encouraging for me. And I'm not, I'm just a lurker. I don't really post in there, but I just...
Well, now that I know you're there, I'm going to call you out on a post, Levi. Levi, what do you think about this?
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think? Well, you know, one of the things that I like about the UCA, and I didn't know this going into it, that this would happen, but it does a bit of self-filtering, I guess, self-filtering. Like, if you believe you and your small group of 12 people are the only people right on the entire planet, like when Jesus returns, it's going to be the 12 of you and your dad who's already passed. That's it. You know, 13 of you. What, you don't even show up or pay any attention to something like this. You know, and we have the same thing with, like, Jehovah's Witnesses are technically all Unitarian Christians in their beliefs. But as an organization, they have zero interest in what we're doing. Zero. Because who, what do you mean, other people? There are no other people. There's just the one church. Us.
Yeah. There's only 144,000.
Yes. So what happens is the people who do join the UCA are either of the mindset like, hey, you know what? I'm a great guy. I love our church. I think people. I think if I have neighbors who are Unitarians, they would want to join me. I'm going to put myself out there on their behalf. What does that mean? That means it's somebody who's already relatively friendly and helpful. And the other kind of the person is like, I just really want to find somebody. Maybe I have like dozens of questions. I just came out of my Baptist church 2 months ago. I don't even know where to start. So everybody kind of knows in the UCA group that these are people in kind of drift, and they're either helpful or they're still seeking and kind of lost and drifting. It's not like your denominational group where we all have basically a same understanding of what we're doing here, and we're just trying to make some decisions about maybe next year's plans. No, this is kind of wide open, but everybody knows it's wide open. You're if you don't like that, if that kind of thing makes you uncomfortable, you don't stick around, you know? So it makes it a little bit easier to deal with, I think, as a, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I hear you. Well, thanks so much, Mark. Thanks for your time. And this has been great. I really hope that we get more Christelphians involved. And I hope that God continues to bless the UCA and its missions.
Well, that's the idea. Like, we aren't being a church. We know that churches exist. We know that groups exist. And you guys are one of those groups, and you're all over the planet, too. I mean, people need to know this. It hurts me to know that somebody might be, you know, 20 minutes away from one of your churches and never have even tried. Now, maybe they'll go and be like, okay, it's not for me. Well, great, you had the chance. But you guys are just a fantastic example of a presence that exists in the world that Unitarian Christians need to find out about.